The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome back to Afternoons with Mike, heard daily here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I've got a new guest on the line with me today, first time ever to spend this kind of time with Teresa Lynn Sidebotham. She is the founder and CEO of Teleos Law. That is a company that serves businesses, individuals, ministries, and churches, and it represents them in litigation, investigations, appeals, alternatives. Wow, we live in a legal world today, Teresa. It is great to have you on, and I can't wait for this program.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
How did you get in doing all of this? What was your interest that drew you into law in the first place?
Well, I had four sons that I was raising, so there was lots of arguing and debate. And I guess that
do it.
Naturally transitioned into law.
That's funny. Now, what's your background? What part of the country did you grow up in?
Well, I actually didn't grow up in this country. I grew up as a missionary kid in Southeast Asia. My parents are from the Virginia area, but my husband and I have been living in Colorado for quite some time.
Wow. Now, what group were your parents involved with?
Yeah, so they started with a mission, and they ended up going independent because they were working with unreached people groups a little bit before that really became popular. So they were doing church planting and evangelism support.
And you mentioned in Asia, so that's a big area there. Are you at liberty to say what part of Asia?
Yeah, it was in Indonesia.
Wow, that's something. So you were actually born there and then made the move back at some point to the States. How old were you when you came back?
Well, I was actually born in the U.S., went over when I was a toddler, came back my senior year in high school. I think I was about 16 when I came back.
Wow. Well, it's really an amazing background, I'm sure. As you talk now to people who were other missionary kids, what stories do you always share about those years growing up there that you look back fondly and say, yeah, that was really different? So cool that I got to do that. What was the number one thing?
So I think the thing that, you know, that you miss about the country is, you know, the food, the scenery, some aspects with the people. But the things that most missionary kids and other third culture kids share is the sense of, you know, not quite fully belonging in any culture, but being able to get along in any culture. So you're always a little bit of an outside observer, which I think is useful in the practice of law and even some of the things we're going to be talking about, you know, a little bit of an outsider's perspective.
Right. Now, representing people who are from different cultures, that in itself is a bit of an art form, right?
Yeah, and a lot of our clients are mission organizations that, of course, work all over the world, so you have to have some cross-cultural understanding for that.
What is the biggest challenge that you see today in that area of the world for missionary people like what your parents were, like what you were when you were growing up? What is some of the big challenges that are being faced today?
I think the big challenge today, not only for mission organizations, but for all ministries, it's a double challenge. One is the religious liberties challenge from the culture. And then the other is internal cultural questions. How do you take care of your people? How do you build an environment that's really life-giving and supporting? And I think that's a kingdom challenge as well. It's mm-hmm. really about building the Church of Christ.
I could not agree more. It's about that. That's got to stay at the root, right? I mean, if you don't have that,
right,
you don't have a lot else to say.
Yeah, exactly. So that's part of what our vision is, you know, to help organizations with, is what's their calling, how should they live, how should people be treating each other.
A lot of times people like yourselves get into, let's say, a formal organization of a company like Teleios because they're already doing it. And in some ways, the formality of forming the company was just a natural thing. Would that kind of be what happened to you?
Yeah, I had some legal background working at the Colorado Court of Appeals and then with a larger firm. And as I transitioned away from that, it seemed natural to form Teleios Law because ministries need this type of advice. And someone, you know, my husband and I had been in ministry and we'd grown up with it. So being able to talk to them in their own language about legal requirements, cultural challenges, and so forth. So that was a natural transition.
Well, that sounds really great. And you mentioned your children. What was it like for them growing up with a mom that had the legal mind that you have? What was that like?
Well, in the early years, you know, we were living overseas with them. We were homeschooling. I was involved in their activities. So, you know, what do little boys think about their mom? You know, she's just there, I think, and supposed to make cookies, and I made a lot of cookies. When I went back to law school, yeah, I think it was an interesting shift for them. They were proud of me, but it was a big transition. There were some grumbling about nobody's there to make my lunches anymore, but they got over it, and I think they're happy I did it.
What does the name of your company, what does that represent? That's a different name, Teleios.
Yeah, Teleios is a word from the New Testament that means whole or complete or mature. It's actually the be perfect word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I think it just helps to talk about what our aspirations are, you know, that both we and our clients are trying to become more like Christ every day.
Well, we are hearing a lot about, like I said early on, legal things that are, they've crept into almost everyday vernacular right now. And there are legal challenges. The district courts are fighting over this. Then it goes to the regional, and then it goes to the national, and ultimately to the Supreme Court. And we're seeing a time of change in our culture in America. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. It's the somewhat the decline of the U.S. as a base of power, but you know, definitely the decline of the U.S. as a Christian nation to the extent that it ever was.
And I know that's got to be especially meaningful to someone like yourself that has the background where your mom and dad really just lived and breathed in a culture that was not their original culture. And yet they're willing to do that with all the sacrifices and at times danger that's involved. Do you see people today taking on any sense of that level of, let's say, passion for something like what your mom and dad did? Or do you see that what they did is becoming more and more rare?
Well, I think it's both. So Christianity is growing like crazy in what you could call the global South, you know, South America, Africa, Southeast Asia. So as the church declines in the West, it's certainly growing fast in other parts of the world. But also, I think within the U.S. and Western countries, you know, there's maybe more a sense of the remnant. So people who never were that committed are going to leave the church, and people who are committed are going to have to figure out how to be committed in a more hostile environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though it's soft persecution here, I think it does help sort out who's serious about it and who's not.
Now, you know, not a lot of people use the word persecution as an existing condition in the U.S., although some know that that's happening. We look at some people, I think, of the legal cases like the football coach that was fired because he knelt and prayed at the 50-yard line. That happened out west, and then the Supreme Court basically backed him up. So, again, we're seeing a time right now where that kind of persecution is creeping more and more into view here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the football coach, Jack Phillips, you know, other people. And we'd call that soft persecution, because even though it jeopardizes people's jobs and their public reputation, you know, nobody's putting them in jail or killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Hard persecution would be, you know, places like Nigeria or China, where you might have to sacrifice everything, including your life.
And that is happening, sad as it is, and we hear the reports of that through the program that we have on the Shepherd called The Voice of the Martyrs. Todd Nettleton hosts that, and he brings that up every week, the fact that life as we know it here in the U.S. is not experienced everywhere else in the U.S. But we do have some crazy things that are going on in our country. And I know one of the things that Teleios deals with is this thing known by the three-letter acronym DEI, which stands for Diversity, Inclusion, and Equity. There are initiatives going on daily, and some areas have had it for a while and are kicking it out and rejecting it. I mean, that's the news from UF recently as to what's happened there. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, so this is an interesting area. The way I would like to unpack it is, you know, every culture has questions and problems. And some of the questions and problems in our culture have always been around, you know, race relations, which are still far from perfect, gender issues, you know, there still are glass ceilings and questions about that. How are people with disabilities treated? How are older people treated? So these are questions that are important in the culture. And one thing about the gospel is the gospel, the scripture, has answers to every culture's questions. But the answers that are being presented by the secular culture, or you know, maybe what you may be thinking of when you say DEI, but you know, critical race theory, extreme mm-hmm. forms of training, you know, a very Marxist, class-based, oppressor-oppressed type of approach. Now, I don't think that those approaches are scriptural, and I don't think they're an accurate representation of what God has to say about humanity. But I think as Christians, we'd be making a mistake to say, well, then I'm just going to ignore the questions. So Teleios Law tries to take an approach of, let's see what God has to say about diversity or equity or inclusion. And the scripture has actually quite a lot to say about that.
Now, are people surprised when they hear you say that? Because I think a lot of people, again, using this, they're proud even of the, let's say, the nuances that are now out there and talked about. We hear the term politically correct terms. We hear the term woke. And these things with DEI appear to be all about the same things, wokeness and being politically correct. But I'm hearing you say that these the roots of this go back to the Bible.
Well, they do, because really, other than Judeo-Christian cultures, there are no other religions or cultures that have had much concern for minority groups or women or people with disabilities or the unborn, you know, you name it. So almost all of these initiatives, whether it's women's suffrage or abolition or care for the disabled, that all came out of a Judeo-Christian ethos. So our culture has paid attention to these things because of the scripture. The latest push, you know, the whole Marxist approach to it is a proposed secular solution, just like Karl Marx's approach was a proposed secular solution on economics and government structure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that we don't like the solution or don't think some of these solutions are scriptural doesn't mean there's not a problem. You know, if you find, you know, say you have an African-American friend who's middle-aged and you have a frank talk, you will find that your friend has experienced discrimination or being treated badly because of their color at various points in their life. So is that a problem? Sure. And should you care? Absolutely. That's your brother or sister. It doesn't mean that you need to get into sort of a class face-off of oppressor or oppressed, but it means you need to really think seriously about, you know, that's your brother or sister in Christ, and how should you live with respect to that?
And I think that question has been going on. I mean, that's the heart that was being called to be changed back in the civil rights movement when those same things were being said back then. Would you feel that we as a country the last couple of years, I'm thinking about it, going back to when President Obama was first voted in, when the words that we got at the beginning of his administration was that we were going to be one people, and it just seems to me that in some ways we have gone since then, maybe even backwards down that road of exclusion and prejudice and separation. Is that right? Would you agree with that?
Well, I think the country is very divided. There seems to be a lot of anger and hatred, and you know, even within families, people have a hard time disagreeing in a charitable way. And I don't know that that necessarily breaks along lines of race or gender, although it certainly can. Race relations have improved a lot since Jim Crow. I mean, there's no question. You know, the civil rights era, we made some progress. I think it's important for us to realize that not all those problems are solved. But a combative, you know, maybe even hateful approach to solving them, where people become enemies of each other, you know, that's not going to get us anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, I love the fact that you're tying the real root principles behind this new acronym to the Bible. And one of the things that you mentioned that I saw in your writings is the fact that you talk about diversity from the standpoint that we hear about it, talked a lot about it in socioeconomic divisions, like divisions of gender, etc. But the Bible, again, does say that we are pulled together. We're to be unified in Christ. So in the Bible, unity is definitely pushed, right?
Well, unity in diversity. So if we look at what God has done in his creation, he's absolutely a fan of diversity. I mean, he didn't make 10 kinds of flowers. He made 10,000, I don't know exactly how many kinds of flowers he made, but he's constantly creating things to be diverse. And, you know, human beings, diverse talents, diverse colors, diverse kinds of beauty. I mean, God absolutely loves diversity. But then when he's talking about the church, it's, you know, all people from every language, tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping at the throne. You know, I get choked up about that. And since that's the body of Christ, each one of us should be humbly trying to serve and love and appreciate each other's diversity.
That's right.
And, you know, white people should be concerned about whether people from minority groups have opportunities. Men should be falling all over themselves trying to empower and take care of women and give them opportunities. So each one of us needs to have that humble servant attitude, not, you know, you're bad if you're male or you're bad if you're white, but we're all part of the wonderful creation that God's envisioned.
That's beautiful. Teresa Lynn Sidebotham is my guest. I'll be back with her for another segment in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd.
Would you like to increase your business's exposure in the Christian community and build your business with greater kingdom purpose? If so, then the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is the solution for you. Hi, this is Co-President LaTondra Heaven. The Christian Chamber is more than just another business organization. It's a regional community of business professionals passionate about advancing the kingdom of God through the marketplace in Central Florida. As a member, get access to exclusive values-based networking events, Christ-centered professional development, marketing opportunities, and consistent prayer support for you and your business. Plus, gain access to the National U.S. Christian Chamber Coalition. Become a member today. Visit our website, cfchristianchamber.com, or call us at 407-431-0732. That's 407-431-0732. 431-0732.
Teresa Lynn Sidebotham, she is the CEO of Teleos Law. And that's an organization that works with churches, works with individuals across the scope, helping to bring clarity, legal understanding as needed. Again, what a great background to have, as she does, her parents being missionaries. So when you grow up with a kind of a different culture right in front of your eyes, and yet you've got the local culture of your mom and dad, and then moving back to the States, that experience really weighs in. And I know it had to have for you a real sense of being a jump starter for these kinds of ways of looking at it, and even reading the Word, going back into the Word, finding the root of all of this. So that was a big help, right?
Yeah, it was, because you just spend your whole life having to, you know, get along in different cultures, different languages. You know, I was a very blonde child living in a, you know, majority brown skin, black hair environment. So you have that experience where you're the odd one out. You know, what does that feel like? What's the difference when people treat you well, maybe when they don't treat you so well? So yeah, I'm very grateful for that experience.
It certainly is coming through in all that you're doing, Teresa. Now, one of the things we talked about last segment, if you've just tuned in and you're hearing Teresa Lynn Sidebotham, she is, again, an attorney that really has worked hard to present this form of service to people that she's helping them understand all that's going on. She's tackled an issue that is as old as Scripture, and yet in our culture, we hear the term DEI, and it all feels like it's been brought on recently, but again, it's not. And that would be true, as you mentioned, with diversity and how that God loves diversity. He made us to be different, and yet he calls for unity with all of that. What about equity? Now, this is something that of those three things, there's maybe more confusion about what the culture means when they say equity. What would you answer that?
Yeah, so that is a term that, you know, has a lot of baggage with it. So there's ways in which equity could be good, and there's ways in which it may not be so good. So you know, we talked about the secular cultural solutions to, you know, issues like access to justice. And let me say, I think access to justice or being treated justly is very important. And if you ever go through the Bible and make a study of the time that scriptures talk directly to employers about how they treat people, it's really shocking how much is there. So Christian employers need to be aware of God's call for, you know, treating people justly, taking care of people who are oppressed. That is very much in the scripture, and taking care of the oppressed and vulnerable is part of God's heart. But then we get to, you know, as I said, there's these questions that are within our culture, and there's scriptural answers, and then, you know, there's the current secular answers. And one of the answers that's being put out is that equity means that you make all outcomes exactly equal. So, you know, you figure out the percentage of people who are men or women or African American or Hispanic or white, you know, within the culture, and then you want to make the outcomes exactly equal based on that. And you consider some people oppressed minorities, and then other people who may be quite in the minority, you say they're not oppressed, like Jews. I mean, it just gets to be this weird form of calculus. And that I don't think is scriptural, and it's actually not even legal. So, you know, the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, has recently pointed out that it's equal opportunity, it's not equitable results, mm-hmm. and that if you're hiring based on race or on gender, you're actually violating the law, because guess what? You're also not supposed to be discriminating against men or against white people. So there's this huge tension. We, as a church, I think we need to be more aware of people who are struggling with issues, whether that's disabilities or racial issues and so forth. But I don't think we're accepting the cultural argument of equity in the sense of absolutely equitable outcomes.
Yeah.
You know, there's people out there who are smarter and more talented than I am, and if they do better, that's great. You know, I'm not called to be jealous and envious of them.
Well, you know, I think everybody would like the benefits of being Bill Gates, right? I mean, that would be great to at least have one day where your checkbook mirrored even a portion, a fraction of what that guy does. But not everyone at all could or should be responsible for handling that kind of money, because I don't think that most of us could. And I think that's just the real truth. And, you know, the whole thing of it is such a communist thought. From what I understand, I love the way you said the way the whole culture is kind of bending toward this Marxist interpretation of these things in this day and age. And it's being done so in kind of a context like it's a good thing, right? And we've never seen it work well anywhere, right? Not in the entire world.
And the reason is that Marxism in all its forms is actually a heresy of Christianity. It's Christianity without Christ. So, of course, it's not going to work. You know, the Christian value is to share what you have, to be concerned about the oppressed. And, you know, many Christians have spent their lives working on behalf of the oppressed. The civil rights leaders were practically all Christians. Well, actually, a lot of them were Jews, too, I think. But there's a strong concern in Scripture to take care of people, to share and to give. Marxism makes it a mandate, makes it legalistic, and often makes it violent.
Well said. And, you know, I think that that part is not being even given the equal time of day in the presentations that a lot of our colleges are giving kids. They're presenting only one little small aspect, which, and we all know that you can make even the Bible say things out of context and lose the entire real meaning of what was in the Bible if you pull things out of context and only use just a snippet of it. Then you can make it say anything that you want to make it say. And it's very clear that our culture is not letting out this dangerous part, this vicious part, violent part of Marxism. That's not being talked about on our college campuses.
That's true. And I think as, you know, ministries and Christian employers think about training, which is important, you know, how do you have training that's scripturally consistent? So our Telus Teaches affiliate, we develop training around these issues, you know, racial reconciliation, sexual harassment, and so forth, that's legally compliant but scripturally based, talking mm-hmm. about how does God call us to live with each other.
Now, that is such a beautiful thought that you've just said, that there is a place where employers, believers who are employers, that they can actually do both things, and that would be live up to the biblical mandate while also staying within the realm of the law. That is something that is doable, right?
Absolutely, because these laws came from us originally. The laws flowed from a Judeo-Christian worldview. Now, does that sometimes get distorted? Sure, but you know, it was the Bible that gave the ideas about these laws to this culture.
That's right.
And so, yeah, we're the ones who can really address it the best, I think.
Well, I think they have over history. I think when we look, and in spite of all of the kind of rhetoric that we hear about American history being racist and being vicious, I just think it's a retelling. And it's not a right representation of actually what happened with our history. But I tell you that people are going to have to work harder, I believe, from this day going forward to make sure they're understanding what actually was historical versus what was revised history.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and there have been a lot of racial problems in U.S. history, and there continue to be. But we also don't want to overlook the fact that, you know, the the U.S. is the only country that's ever fought a civil war to get rid of slavery, which still exists in the world today.
Yes.
So there's the tension. Do we need to humbly keep working with our brothers and sisters to, you know, get rid of racism completely? You know, you bet. It's still a problem. But it's not, it definitely gets overstated in some of the narratives.
Inclusion, that's the third of this acronym. We've covered diversity, equity. What thoughts do you have about inclusion that maybe a lot of people today aren't really considering?
Well, inclusion, you know, inclusion can go right back to the playground, right? You know, a group of little girls who don't want to include that other child who's different. Humans are naturally tribal, which means that they naturally want to exclude people who are not like them. And this is where I think the gospel is important, because we're told specifically, you know, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither barbarian nor Scythian. You know, Paul is hitting on all of the groups of his day. And so the characteristic of gospel-based Christianity should be that we do include our brothers and sisters, no matter what they look like or sound like.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Now, Teleos Law is dealing with this entire thing, and I know you've put out, you've done not only writings about this, but you have, I believe you have information on your website where employers can go, because this is still, to this day, this is a really big deal that a lot of employers are, I believe, afraid of. They really, you know, they don't feel like they know what should be done, and so they kind of stay away from maybe some of the subjects when they really need to be digging in. There's a lot of confusion and misunderstandings about it. So what would you say to people who are wanting to learn more about DEI?
Well, I agree. Employers need to dig in. In many states, it's legally required, and you know, everywhere, it's definitely going to improve your chances of, you know, not being legally liable for something. So it needs to be considered. But you know, taking approaches that are balanced legally and consistent with Scripture. You know, as I mentioned, we put together training in Teleos Teaches, which is a learning management system, you know, an online subscription type training. But whether with our training or a different training, getting something that's consistent with people's needs, consistent with the legal standard, and with your faith beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of faith, one of the big things that a lot of churches are always kind of like walking in careful steps would be the area of law and wanting to make sure that they do things right, not only before the Lord, but before our legal system that's here. With regard to this DEI whole initiative, what do churches need to consider?
Well, churches are often employers as well, so the same standards apply to them to a certain extent. There's some religious exemptions for certain aspects of it. There's some constitutional protections. So it gets complicated, which is one reason Teleos Law exists, right? We help churches and ministries work through that. But they need to also consider training and having good policies in place, and then really considering, you know, how God is calling them to live and what groups they should be ministering to.
Here's a question I have for you. Maybe you could help all of us who really may have avoided the whole conversation about DEI for fear of sounding woke. So what is the right way, would you think, the right way for businesses who are run by believers or churches and their pastors to kind of approach this thing free from fear and yet not coming over as a woke individual?
Yeah, so woke, of course, is a term that we're using to describe some extreme approaches to this. And I think it's important for churches and Christians to realize that, you know, we don't want to use terms like that to stay out of the conversation, because the wounds of the heart and the questions that are being asked, they're very real. People with disabilities want to know, well, am I really made in the image of God? Little girls want to know if they're going to have the same kind of opportunities as boys. People who are from minority groups still have ongoing concerns about racism. So I think the way churches and ministries should frame it is, what does the scripture say and what is God calling us to? Because like I said, there's an enormous amount in scripture about these questions. You know, we just have to be brave enough to go and look at it. And we have to be really careful not to be dismissive about other people's problems and their wounds, because you don't really know. I have had middle-aged white men comment on that there is no gender discrimination out there. Well, I'm sorry, they're just wrong. There is.
Mm-hmm.
And most women that I talk to have experienced sexual harassment or gender discrimination, or maybe both. And so caring enough about people to hear their stories in a humble way and say, what is it like to be a black woman in America?
Yeah.
What is it like to be a Hispanic blue-collar worker in America? Do you know? Do you care? Yeah. And those are scriptural questions.
Just this morning, my wife and I were reading through Revelation, and we came across that phrase, for every nation, tribe, and tongue. And there you see that diversity and the need for inclusion. Our churches are full of people that are diverse, and that's the way heaven will be. Thank God for that, right, Teresa?
Absolutely, and maybe we better start practicing.
That's exactly right. Teresa Lynn Sidebotham, give us your website one more time.
So teliuslaw.com is the law firm website, and teliusteaches.com is the training website.
And that is spelled T-E-L-I-O-S, law.com. Teresa, thank you for being with me today on the program.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's been very interesting, and I've learned a lot about DEI, and I think we all need to do that. And we'll see you, friends, next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.